Great Christmas. Is it possible that this can be our last Christmas? The Bible tells us that our life is like a blade of grass. Green today, withered tomorrow. Like a vapor. Gone. And that's why we must appreciate every time we're together. Appreciate each other, appreciate our Sunday services, and enjoy Christmas. Since COVID, it seems that things around the world has become very stressful. COVID had a hit on it. Things just don't seem to be the same anymore. However, there seems to be a fresh breath in the air. Especially, I don't know if it's just in our country, but it seems like there's a relief. There seems to be a little bit more joy and excitement around the country and the world. It seems that people are more optimistic. I mean, Thanksgiving travel, I believe, hit records. People haven't traveled so much since COVID. And all over the show, they've been traveling for Thanksgiving. Did you have a good Thanksgiving? Now, what do we attribute that to? In our country, what do we attribute that optimism to? What do we attribute the crowds that went on Thanksgiving? Well, yes, some thought. Some attribute that to a new sheriff in town. Some say daddy's home. Things are going to be all right. And all of a sudden, even on the news outlets, we can see they saying Merry Christmas and not Happy Holidays. So let's be there. Somebody says to you, Happy Holidays, your response is going to be?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. We stand for what is right. We stand for what is good. And most of all, I want us to enjoy Christmas. That being said, that within our country, and it does seem outside of our country, there's a little bit optimism, but I've got to also just dampen that down a little bit. I'll tell you why. On the World Outlook, according to Prophecy News, that published an article this week, it stated, and I quote, "We really are living in the end times, and the coming year, 2025, is going to be a year filled with crisis." That's the prophetic outlook for 2025. The coming year is going to be filled with crisis after crisis. Listen to this. All of human history has been building up to this last chapter. Not 2025, but the last chapter. 2025, 2024 was part of it. It's going through 2025, maybe 2026. Has been built up to this last chapter. And it's time to ask if we are ready for what is to come. And now that's the unknown. For the average person, what is to come? We don't know. But yet there's something we do know. Jesus is coming. We do know that God takes care of his people. There's optimism in the born-again child's life, more so in somebody that is not born again. We're optimistic. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the predictions, regardless of what's happening around, we're still optimistic. Because our faith is not in government, our faith is not in world events. Our faith is in a biblical event, the coming of Jesus Christ. And if I'm not around when he comes and I've died before he comes, I'm coming back with him in any case. So it really doesn't bother me if I die tomorrow and he only comes back next year. I'm coming back with him. I'm going to be with him. I'm coming back with him. So man, heads I win, tails I win. But according to the Institute for Economics and Peace, the number of military conflicts that are currently active is the highest that we have seen since World War II. Now that's alarming, folks. It seems there's an escalation in war. Ukraine, Gaza, I just spoke with Dave this morning. What's left of Gaza? What's left there? Gaza, Ethiopia, Sudan, Afghanistan, Syria. I don't know if you've read the news. Major problems in Syria. The president, Assad, he's left the country. He's fled. Rebels have taken over. I think they may be in Damascus already. There's a major problem. Russia has got a major military presence over there. And so we find that Turkey, they're getting involved, and they're right on the border of Israel. This Middle East conflict is something to keep your eyes on. The Democratic Republic of Congo, Colombia, and so we can go on. At the moment, there are 56 active conflicts in the world. The highest number since World War II. Moreover, these carry an increasingly international component. Why? We somehow are interconnected. And not only are we interconnected, the fact is we've got investments all over and we're siding with which country we want to side with. Our country in particular. And so we discover that this is an international component with 92 countries involved in wars outside their borders. 92 countries. What do we know? We're in Three Rivers. The world out there is hostile. The world out there is not at peace. And that's going to escalate. We have seen deterioration of peace over the last decade, especially in the last 5 years. That being said, as a believer, I'm encouraging all of us to celebrate and enjoy Christmas in spite of what's happening. We have a reason for that. We have a reason to celebrate. And more than that, folks, the Bible says we are the salt of the earth. There's no time to stick our head in the sand like an ostrich. There's no time to walk around all morbid. We are the light, and the joy of the Lord is resident within us. And we can truly say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Let's enjoy Christmas, regardless of politics, regardless of looks, regardless of what things people have said. Enjoy Christmas, but remember, who is Christmas? Christ is Christmas. So we enjoy celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you've ever thought about it or not, but celebration is not a worldly thing. Celebration is a God thing. Do you know that God wants people to celebrate? And we could go through the Bible and look at a lot of the feast of Israel that is put aside and they celebrate. That's why we also have a sign out here. God's people are happy people, and happy people shine because we've got the joy of the Lord. So it's God's idea. In fact, throughout the Bible, we find that He instituted times to feast and celebrate with others the goodness of the Lord. And that's why, although we know the 25th is not the day, but we've set that aside to celebrate. To celebrate what? The birth of a Savior. What a time to celebrate. And as we celebrate, it builds within us that joy, that peace. And that is why I believe that Christmas should be one of the biggest celebrations of the year. Of course, we remember Easter, etc. Celebration in God's word involves four things. Number one, remembrance. As we celebrate the birth of Christ, we remember. Remember the goodness of God. Remember what God has done for us. Remember where He has brought us from. Let's pause for a moment. Remember where He has brought us from. Can you recall where you were when you found Jesus? Can you recall what your life was like before you found Jesus? And now look at you. Some people can't believe it's the same you. That you never used to be like this. In a positive sense. So we remember what the Lord has done. We rejoice because of the goodness of God towards us. We feast to celebrate with others God's mighty power. And not only do we feast as we do well at Crossway, we thank Him for His provisions. If I look at our group, we don't lack much. God has prospered. Yeah, there's some hard times, but difficult times. But if we look outside around us, there's a lot of people that are needy. And then we find that God has blessed us so that we in turn can let that overflow to others. Giving to the Lord, coming up, Christmas Eve, Christmas, we'll give extra because the Bible says He loves the joyful giver. And so we look at our present situation, how God has prospered. God has used you to bless and has used every single one of us to contribute. And man, we're flourishing. That's all because of God. But we don't want to be a Dead Sea that it stops over here. We want to be the Red Sea that it goes out and there's life within the system and there's life within the system. But the most important thing is to give to the Lord first. Then to one another because of what the Lord has done for us. So just because the world has polluted the celebration, the 25th, and tainted it with sin and ugliness, it doesn't mean we should celebrate. Just because the world does things in a bad way, doesn't mean we mustn't celebrate. We can show the world how to celebrate. As a matter of fact, I can celebrate and still be wide awake and alert tomorrow with no hangover. And it cost me nothing. I can eliminate the headaches. I can eliminate the other stuff that goes with that. And still have a very good time. But since it's Christmas, let's celebrate that we have been redeemed and set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is nothing more beautiful to be in this place this morning and to recognize I am free from sin. The penalty of sin. There's nothing more rewarding than to stand here in this decorated place with people that are of like mind and like spirit and to know that there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. It's a relief. Gosh, God, You are so good. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your mercy. So we can celebrate. And I believe during this whole festive season, we can celebrate that He came to destroy the works of the devil. Man, that's fantastic. That I'm no longer under that ownership. I don't belong to that kingdom anymore, like we heard last week. I don't belong to this kingdom of darkness. I'm a child of light. I belong to the light. I'm the salt of the earth. I'm also now the light in Jesus Christ. So I can celebrate that the coming of Jesus Christ has destroyed the works of the devil. We can celebrate because of our redemption through Jesus. We celebrate that Jesus is our healer, our deliverer, our provider, our joy, our salvation. So here's the question then. How much can I celebrate? Yes, there's hurt. There's heartaches. There's disappointments. But like I said to even Cliff this morning, as he goes in for surgery, I will fear no evil for thou art with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And you and I, no matter what we face, we can still rejoice in the Lord because we have the peace of God residing within us. And something we must realize is that there's only one real way to celebrate. And how is that? How do we celebrate? By being excited, enthusiastic, and appreciative to what God has done. I want us to look at two scriptures quickly, one in two different translations, and then we're going to go to the rest of the service. Nehemiah 8 verse 10. Then Ezra told them, go your way. Notice what he tells them. Eat the fat. Drink the what? The sweet drink. Send portions to him. This is part of even us. This is how we've been operating. Not keeping everything to ourselves. Send portions to him for whom nothing is prepared. We saw that during Thanksgiving. Homes were open. Meals were going all over the show. So look at this. For whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. And be not. This is the time. Be not grieved. Do not be depressed. Why not? For the joy of the Lord is our strength and stronghold. Oh yeah, that pertains to Israel. Yes, but the Spirit applies to you and me as well. It's a time to celebrate. We celebrate Christ throughout the year, absolutely. The new birth within us. But this time is set aside to celebrate the coming of a king. To celebrate God taking upon himself the form of man that boggles the mind. God. And if you look at that whole phrase, you go to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, we find what God created. God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth became void. But the emphasis is, in the beginning, God created. And as you know, I tie that scripture up with John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, capital W. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So he was there all the time. In the beginning. And then we find it. And this Word, this God, the Bible says, became flesh. And took upon himself the form of man. I don't know, but my mind is too small to digest that. God, who is spirit, takes upon himself the form of man. Within the Godhead, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus takes upon himself the form of man. And of course, you shall call his name Emmanuel. For God is with us. And as I look at that this morning, I say, my Lord, I cannot be grieved. I cannot be depressed. The New Living Translation puts it in a beautiful way, the way it translates this. And Nehemiah continued, go and celebrate a feast with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks and share gifts. It's amazing how many gifts are being shared over the Christmas season. I wish we could do it all year long, instead of waiting for a special moment to share and let us feel good, because now we filled somebody's trunk or somebody's house with something to share or to enjoy, and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a what? A sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad. Don't. Throughout the week, leading up to Christmas, Christmas Eve, into the new year, don't be dejected. Don't be sad. Why not? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, here's the thing. Do we have the joy of the Lord? Absolutely. So shine, baby, shine. We've got the joy of the Lord regardless of the circumstances. So it's Christmas. Let's celebrate. Well, the social side of Christmas has begun. How do we know that? Eat and shopping. Shop until you drop. The social side of Christmas has begun. It's a festive time. It's a time for dressing up. And we're looking at the worldly context now. It's also a time for parties. This end of the year parties all over the show. And you know what goes on at these end of the world parties. Well, some of you. And you've come out of that, right? It's a festive time. Enjoying yourself with family and friends. And as the Christmas day approaches, 2.5 weeks, as that day approaches, so does the rush. What is the rush? To buy the last minute present. To find the last deal that's out on Amazon. As the day approaches, the rush accelerates to get the last minute present. At Crossway, the Christmas season has started too, with the decorations. So on that side, the social side, we've seen it's in action. It is noticeable that more and more people, though, are offended by Christmas. I've seen that escalate over the last several years. It also started off with Happy Holidays. But people don't like Christ in Christmas. There is that push to separate. But I also noticed there's a point of correction that somehow our country wants to correct itself and bring the Ten Commandments back into the public spaces, bring prayer back into the school, bring Christianity back into the schools as curriculums. There seems to be a self-correction. How long it's going to last, I don't know. But more and more people are offended by Christmas this day and age. And being offended by Christmas is not something new in any case. Herod the Great, was he offended by a birth of a Savior? Of course he was. So people being offended is not something new. In your family, there will be people that are offended by Christmas. Relatives, friends, offended by Christmas. Don't let that put you off, and don't let that quieten you or even intimidate you. You know who you are in Jesus, and make a noise. Celebrate. The king of Judea, he was an insanely jealous ruler who on various occasions already had murdered his favorite wife. No, he was something else. And two of his sons were killed because he thought they were trying to take his throne. To such a man, even a baby is viewed a threat. How sick was this man's mind? How depraved was he that he's prepared to kill innocent kids because his throne is being possibly challenged? Shows you insecurity, a tremendous amount of insecurity. And the reason Herod wanted to learn the exact time the star appeared was that he had already plotted to kill all the small boys in Bethlehem. Look at Matthew 2:16. Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. They never came and reported. They went another direction. He sent soldiers to do what? How sick, man. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem that were how old? 2 years old. And under. How would you love to live under that regime? Based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. How deceitful and devious this individual was. Offended, if you want, by Christmas. And Herod's slaughter of children extended at least 10 miles around Bethlehem, including Jerusalem. And what a sad commentary to see that human depravity, that it can sink to that level, who is willing to sacrifice innocent children to do what? To keep his hold on a throne. So he was offended by Christmas. But there's something interesting I found over the years through my research, that anti-Christmas feelings was even in Massachusetts. In 1659... a law was passed fining anyone caught celebrating Christmas. In fact, public schools in Boston remained open on Christmas Day until 1870. Our beautiful Massachusetts. was offended by Christmas. Sanctuary City. But within the sanctuary city, we've got born again people now. And the light is shining. And we're not afraid and we're not intimidated. And we're going to stand for biblical principles. We're going to stand for that which is right, which is just. And even though at times we may be the minority, yet we're the majority. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? So open your mouth and talk and let's celebrate and enjoy Christmas. So Massachusetts, are you listening? We will celebrate Jesus Christ. We're not offended by the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's not the day off that bothers the people. It's not the gathering for a big feast. It's not the presents that are exchanged. But it rather is this. What is offensive about Christmas? Why are people so offended? They're not offended because it's a day off. They're not offended because they can throw a party. No. They're offended because of Matthew 1, 20 and 21. While he was trying to figure a way out, he had a dream. God's angel spoke in the dream. Joseph, son of David, don't hesitate to get married. Why not? Well, Mary's pregnant. She was engaged. Now she's pregnant. Spirit conceived. Another thing, can you understand this, that the Holy Spirit can conceive a woman? God's Holy Spirit has made her pregnant. How did he do this? How did he do that, Holy Spirit? For him to know and for you and I to find out. She will bring a son to birth. Ah, there comes the problem. She will bring a son to birth. And when she does, you, Joseph, will name him what? That's why Jesus has become so offensive today. As a matter of fact, he's more of a cuss word than anything else. And when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus. God saves because he will save his people from their sins. You see, it's the talk of a savior that offends people. Because the people are in darkness. They used to their ways. They used to their twisted mind. They used to do things that are contrary to the word of God. And now the Savior comes and says, what you're doing is wrong. And us people don't like to hear that. You're wrong. But in the statement of you are wrong, he's giving an alternative. And the alternative is light out of darkness. And people preferred, the Bible says, the people preferred darkness. Why would you prefer darkness than light? Well, there's got to be a change. If you're in darkness and you're living a life apart from Christ, there's got to be a change. And the change is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And in doing that, your life changes. But darkness doesn't want this because darkness has got no restrictions. It's depravity, depravity, depravity. Do as you please with no consequences. And that's why when you talk about a Savior that offends people, it's the talk of sin and the need of forgiveness. Oh, the need of forgiveness. I will never forgive. Oh, really? It's sad to hear Christians make that statement. More than that, when Christians make a statement, I will forgive, but I will never. So how do we justify that? I will forgive, but I will never forget. Well, forget, don't bring it up to remembrance. But somehow we will always throw it in people's faces. So when it comes to forgiveness, and you look at the study or you study the word forgiveness, when you forgive somebody, it is as if it has never happened. Wow, that's difficult, right? As if it's never happened. But yet we bring it up all the time. So people don't like to hear these kind of things. The Savior. It's the proclamation of the Savior and the insistence of Christ himself, that he is the way. Oh, don't come and tell me this. You want to tell me he is the only way? He's the truth? You want to tell me that's the only way you can get to heaven? People don't want to hear that. They're offended by that kind of terminology. He's the way, the truth, the life. Oh, no. You want to tell me all other religions are wrong? Well, what does the Bible say? He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. It's those things that offend people. That he says, there's only one way to the Father. I am the only way. I'm the door. No other can come to him except through me. That offends people. Because people always like to have it their way. So it's not the day off that they are bothered about. It's not a paid day that they can celebrate. No, 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 no. It deals with Jesus Christ himself. You and I were there. We've experienced that. But now we're in the kingdom of light. And we've got reason to celebrate. We've got reason to enjoy Christmas. Because your life and my life has been transformed. It has been changed. So please do not be intimidated by what people think or say about Christ this Christmas. If people want to talk bad, let them talk bad. If people want to ridicule you, don't justify them ridiculing you. It's your opinion. You're entitled to your opinion. But you know what? When I got born again, I was there and you were not there. So I know what happened. My life has changed. You don't have to have a battle. You don't have to have this conflict. But yet, although we find Herod the Great was offended by Christmas, you're going to see it in today's age as well. While there are people offended by Christmas, you've got people celebrating Christmas. We see that in Herod's time as well. We see it in the old days. Matthew 2:1-2. Beauty. Oh, these guys are just unbelievable. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from the east. How many were there? Only three? Oh, what another fake news. There were only three. There were not three. But in any case, we grew up with this kind of thing. There were the three wise men. Nowhere does the Bible say there were three wise men. About that time, some wise men, that's a better translation, from eastern lands, they were traveling to Bethlehem, arrived in Jerusalem asking, look what they were asking, where is this newborn king of the Jews? So immediately that created conflict with Herod. Rumor was out, there's a king of the Jews. So man, this king is going to throw me out? No, no, no. Where's the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star. What in the world are we doing here on Christmas Day worshiping a Jew boy? We're American. What are we worshiping a Jew boy for? Salvation comes to the Jew first. They've rejected that and it's gone over to the Gentiles. And the Jew boy tells us in him there is no Jew or Gentile. They are only born again people. So we worship the Jew boy. Where is the newborn king of the Jews? Jesus, Jesus. But notice, we saw his star as it rose. We saw his phenomenal teaching on the star. Do some research. We saw his star as it rose. And we have come to do what? What do you find? Two groups of people again. One, kill him and everybody to and under. Other group, we want to find him and worship him. And that's where you and I fit in. Have we found him? Yes, we have. Or has he found us? Either way, he's found us, I found him. What is my responsibility? Worship him. A foreign concept to us because the worship we do is very different to the worship then. Because we want to be in control of everything. And I'll just elaborate a little bit in the sense of worship, particularly when we ask or suggest or tell folks, guys, just raise your hands. It's foreign to us. Foreign to us to raise our hands to the sky and we don't see anything. What am I raising my hands for? But yet throughout Scripture, we find that's a form of worship. And I think you and I must get to the point in our lives where we recognize, and we don't at times recognize this, that we're a new creation. We've been bought with a price. And that's why I want you to understand that this morning, that now that we've been bought with a price, somebody owns me. Who owns me? Well, the one that paid the price. And if the one who paid the price tells me to do something, what am I supposed to do? Do it. And that's why Paul says, I want people everywhere raising holy hands in adoration. And this is a concept that you and I don't understand and appreciate much, that we can go through into the New Testament, particularly Old Testament into New Testament, and we find that kind of adoration towards God. If only you and I can get to that point that we recognize, I can't see you, but I know you there. I can't see you, but I know you real. And I can't understand the greatness of you, but you are great. And I want to honor you. I want to worship you. I want to raise my hands in total submission to you as a form of honor. I love you, God. I love you. Now, we may think it's not part of what God wants. But we also recognize, and I think we sang a song. And the Bible is very explicit on this. There's coming a day. Listen to this carefully. There's coming a day that every knee will what? Whether you like it or not. You see, we don't fully understand the holiness of God. When God in His holiness reveals Himself, no human being can stand in His presence. When Saul, who is also called Paul, had an encounter with the resurrected Jesus, what happened? Oh yeah, but something else. Blind, bright white, fell to the ground. The holiness of God is something you and I don't fully comprehend. Because that's holy and there's still sinful part within us. So when the two meet, one's got to give. And it's not him. It's me. And so we must get to the point that you and I can understand the greatness of God and do not be afraid to raise your hands and say, God, I'm going to close my eyes. I just want to worship you because you are the great I am. And more, when you and I go into the next phase of our lives, of the resurrected body, we're going to adore Him and we're going to bow before Him and we're going to exalt Him, because then the fullness of salvation is revealed to you and me. And we recognize, gosh, it took a miracle to change me. And that miracle was Jesus Christ. So here we find some are rejoicing at Christmas. Not become, but born of the Jews. That's the important thing. Where is the newborn king? He wasn't evolving to kingship. He wasn't in that lineage of the natural who was born the king. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And let us refocus on that great event. Because of Christ, we have forgiveness of sins. We have been reconciled with God. We have become children of God and all the privileges that goes with it. As I've mentioned a few weeks ago, number one, the adoption. The ability to live a life of joy and peace within. This is where we are at this moment. As we commenced, as we started with this message, I showed you what's happening around the world. I showed you that there is not brightness for 2025 in the political sphere. We find that famine is going to increase. I spoke earlier with Dave. Pestilence is something that's going to increase tremendously, that's prophetical. Pestilence all over, all these viruses, there's going to be increase on it. Look at John 14:27. John 14:27, very important. Peace I leave with you. What is peace, folks? Is it the absence of conflict? What is peace? Is it the absence of war? No. Peace is a person. Because Jesus Christ is referred to as the Prince of Peace. And though he's going, he says, peace I leave with you. In other words, I'm leaving me with you. And this is what he says, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you. It's yours. I am yours. But notice this. Not as the world gives. So what kind of peace does the world give? The peace of the world is not a person. It's based on circumstances and the absence of conflict. But not the peace of Christ. The peace is Christ that he gives of himself. I give myself to you. I laid my life down for you. Peace I leave with you, my own peace. I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Why not? Because I am with you. Do not let your heart be troubled. In other words, this peace is this confidence in the ability of God, but not only that, the confidence that he is who he said he was. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Oh, come on, guys. We all got to get involved in this thing now. Because you and I have been guilty of some of these things. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated. You know what we do? We put the blame on others. You agitate me. You disturb me. You disturb my way of thinking. Is that true? Or is it, I've got to take personal responsibility? Stop allowing yourself to be agitated. So who's in control now? I am. Why must I stop allowing myself to be agitated? Because I've got the Prince of Peace residing within me. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit. Look at ownership. Look at the responsibility. And do not permit yourself to be fearful. So where does the onus lie? On me as an individual. Our fearfulness is based on what we see and what we hear. And even what's happening within the Senate and what's happening now with Congress, we understand snippets are being shared with us pertaining to individuals. Yet we don't know those individuals, but we make a statement, or we make a decision, or we make an accusation to somebody based on what? On truth, or what has been shared with us? On what is shared with us? Because we don't know the individuals. And that's what happens in the world. We're quick to jump to conclusions based on pieces of information gathered. But we don't know the truth. Because each side has its own agenda. And they'll only share what's on their agenda with you and me. But here it says, do not permit yourselves to be fearful. I don't know if we're going to make it. Yes, you are going to make it. Why? I'm a child of God. Yes, I have peace within me. Do not allow yourselves or permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated. intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. During this festive season, if you're going to shine out, if you're going to stand up, you're going to get challenged. But please do not be intimidated because of who you are. You believe in Christ? Absolutely, I do. You believe in the Bible? Absolutely, I do. You believe Jesus was born? Absolutely, I do. You believe that he died? Yeah, absolutely. You believe he rose from the dead? Yeah, absolutely. Even more, I believe he's coming back again. Don't try and shy away. Don't try, well, you know, I'm still thinking, I'm not too sure. Stand up. Because you're a child of the King and you don't need to be intimidated and be a coward and be unsettled within you. This peace is much more than the mere absence of conflict. It suggests completeness, health, prosperity, protection. It's confident assurance in any circumstance. It speaks of wholeness. Since you found Christ, there's wholeness, there's completeness in you, in me, all because of Jesus Christ. Now, the world cannot provide this kind of peace because real peace comes from faith in God, because he alone embodies all the characteristics of peace. So I would submit this morning, Christmas truly could and truly would impact us in a powerful fashion if we would allow our minds to think outside of the box as to who Jesus is, the great I am. Let's celebrate Christmas. Rejoice. Know in whom you believe. Know what you believe. And know why you believe. Let's pause for a moment. Know who you believe in. What do you know about him? Know what you believe. Know why you. Why do you believe in Jesus? Why do you believe that he is the only Son of God? Why? Those are the questions you got to answer. And you got to formulate within your heart and your mind the reality of what Christ has accomplished on the cross. You see, God did not command us to celebrate Christmas, but God does command his people on several occasions to celebrate because of what he has done for them. So let's pause. We're celebrating the birth of Christ. Is it valid? What do you think? Is it valid to celebrate the birth of Christ? But what happens if you and I find out it wasn't the 25th that he was born? Aren't you confused? Aren't you wrong? And here's the answer, folks. You're not celebrating a day. You're celebrating an event. And the event is, for unto us a child is born, a son is given. And his name, of course, is Jesus Christ. So we have valid reasons to celebrate the 25th, knowing it's not the day, but the event. People need to see us, you, me, express the joy of salvation. They need to see us celebrate the wonderful God that we serve. Now, has God made a difference in your life? Those are questions we've got to answer. I've got to answer. Has Christ made a difference in my life? Has he forgiven my sin? Yes, he has. Was I dead in my sin? Yes, I was. Am I alive unto Christ? Yes. Then live like a lively person instead of a corpse. I've got the joy of the Lord within me. I've got the peace of God within me. So let it be revealed. Let it shine. There will be times of frustration, I fully get it. But we celebrate the greatness of God. Express the joy of our salvation. Let people see us celebrate. Give gifts. Let people see us celebrate the goodness of God. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. Let people see. You're going to church? Yeah. You're going to a party? Church is a party. I'm celebrating. What do you mean church is a party? Well, the Bible says when one sinner comes home, the angels throw a party. So I had been part of a party, and the party is the angels threw it, and now I'm partying because Jesus has given me eternal life. So God just loves parties. In conclusion, the only thing about Christmas that never changes, the only thing about Christmas that never changes is Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The only thing about Christmas. Have you asked yourself, if there was no Christ, would there be Christmas? If there was no Christ, would there have been a Christmas? So, Christ is the reason for the season. So Christ is Christmas. The world cannot understand this. If it wasn't for God that took upon himself the form of man, there would be no Christmas. There won't even be a happy holiday because there wouldn't even be a holiday. But the world has taken something that is so beautiful and twisted it and made it an opportunity within the business world to capitalize and make money. You and I, we're different. We're going to let the people see who we believe in. We believe in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing about Christmas that never changes is Christ. Look at how we started with the slide. Let's enjoy Christmas. Let's celebrate Christmas. Let the people see your love for the one that you love. Let the people see your joy. And I thank God for you that I see that Sunday after Sunday, you come in here enthusiastic. You come in here serving God. Let that get stronger and stronger and stronger, for we are the light in this area. We are the light. Do we screw up at times? Sure, big time. But he's faithful and just to forgive us if we confess our sins to him. And that's what I love about this Christmas. I love about Jesus Christ, a merciful God, a God that has given me the greatest gift I could ever imagine, the gift of life. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Come, we pray together.